It is Friday, November 2nd. Let's talk PlayStation. So I want to start off this week by doing some updates from news stories that we've had recently on the show, so not super old. And we'll start it off with these server shutdowns. If you remember, not that long ago, we talked about how Warhawk, Twisted Metal, Sound Shapes, and Warhawk were getting their servers shut down on October 24th, 2018. Sure enough, that date has come and gone, and those games are actually still working. Sony's actually sent out some emails to select PlayStation Network users informing them that these games have actually been extended a little bit. So actually, the new shutdown notice is for January 31st, 2019, which is somewhat good. So you've got 3 more months of a grace period to play these games a little bit, which is good because I had said that I really wanted to do one last, like, final stream and play with some of you guys on Warhawk, and I never got around to it. I'm super sorry. I'm super busy all the time. However, hopefully this will be enough time for me to make that happen now. So another thing we talked about, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, but it was a PS4 Pro price drop, and that was in Japan. The system went from 44,980 yen to around 39,980 yen, which roughly translated to USD, about a $50 decrease, which is not bad, but you know, you start to speculate, okay, maybe there'll be a PS4 price drop in other regions. Well, this kind of maybe changes that a little bit. Basically, Sony announced a 2TB PS4 Pro in Japan, and that will be the new base level price of 44,980 yen. So the 1TB model was basically discounted, and apparently these are both going to live next to each other side by side, which is fine, I guess. I mean, there should be a, I think it's fair to say there should be a 2TB model, or at the very least, I would almost wish to have a $350 MSRP cut of PS4 Pro and then pack a 2TB with that, because something like Red Dead recently just shows that we really do need more storage as games get more complex and developers increase the amount of install they have to do on the system's hard drive. It does, it really eats up the space pretty quickly. And it's funny to see over the life cycle of a console how that space keeps increasing. If you remember, PS3 launched at 20 and 60 gigabyte models, and then at the end of the life cycle, you were seeing 320, 500 gigabyte models being standard usually. Now, moving on, Sony has finally given us that update on the Medieval Remaster, and actually they clarified earlier in the week, this is not a remaster, it's a remake. And it's easy to see why they want to make that clarification, because on October 31st, fittingly, on Halloween, they released the gameplay trailer, and it is completely redone. Which is, that's why they wanted to clarify, because at that PSX teaser trailer, it does say it's going to be a remaster. So I think a lot of people probably had this idea going into it that it was probably going to be a 4K up-res, a higher frame rate, nothing crazy. Kind of like what they did with Loco Roco or Parappa the Rapper, right? No, this is completely redone. This is akin to the Spyro or the Crash trilogy. And it does, it looks beautiful. Specifically for something like Medieval, you don't even have to play it. You can just watch footage of the first game and see how crude it is, but at the same time, just how much better it could look and how much more creativity and color and dynamics could be added to the original game, and that's exactly what this trailer is, and it looks fantastic. I almost want this to be more of a trend, I guess. I don't want to see this happen frequently, but certainly take some of the very best old PlayStation games that, you know, because you look at them and you see how simple they are. They could be so much more 20 years later. And once again, games like Crash, Spyro, and Medieval are great examples of that. And while talking about Spyro, we can move on to the next news story, which is a clarification on what's going to happen with the Spyro disc, because a few months ago, it had broke out that the first game would be on the disc, but you'd have to download the other two games, which is certainly annoying, although I think the reaction online was a little hyperbolic, because it's not that big of a deal, but I understand people's issue with possibly having local internet service providers that don't give that proper internet connection to completely download these games. It is quite an issue for a lot of people still. Some people go, oh, it's 2018. Some people still have an issue with that. It's understandable. However, we do have a somewhat weird idea of what they've said, which is that the first game is still on the disc, and some levels from 2 and 3 are on the disc, but you will still need to do a day one update to basically download the rest of those other two games. So it's just puzzling to me. I don't know. I mean, I feel like you can cram all three games on there, but of course, I don't know what they're doing in terms of development. Maybe it's just poorly optimized in terms of space management. I mean, that's certainly a real thing. You know, you see so many people go, oh, you can fit all three games on there. Well, you don't know behind the scenes. I mean, maybe it's, and I don't want to say sloppy, but for lack of a better word, maybe it's just some kind of unoptimized use of space management in terms of the Blu-ray disc, or maybe they want to start printing the Blu-rays now with the content that's finished, and they want to finish up afterwards on the remaining levels. I mean, that's not uncommon at all. They often go to print and always require a day one update. This is with almost every single game nowadays, but they go to print first, and as the games are being printed, they're already up, you know, working on smashing bugs, or finishing up something that's not quite ready in the game, but they know they can get it done within, let's say, a two-month lead time. You know what I mean? It's not uncommon in the industry. So, but they have been forward about it, and that is what's going on. So I actually saw this a while ago, and I decided not to talk about it. But now that a lot of people are noticing that this is a thing, I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll bring it up, which is that Sony has teamed up with Pottery Barn, or I would assume, like, they've just given them creative rights to use PlayStation logos and PlayStation buttons. But Pottery Barn Teen has released a few PlayStation-themed furniture. So there's, like, a coffee table, basically, and then, like, an entertainment center. There's, like, these hanging things where you can put some game cases in. There's a glowing logo you can buy. It's probably the most interesting thing out of this, if I'm being honest. And then there's a bean bag. So if you've ever wanted PlayStation furniture, this is probably the time to do it. Although it is Pottery Barn, and I say that because Pottery Barn's absurdly expensive, at least for somebody like me. I wouldn't pay for that kind of stuff. Anytime I walk into a Pottery Barn, I always think to myself, oh my god, who buys this, and why are they paying this much money? Yeah, it's different strokes for different folks, but I mean, the light looks cool. I get that. Actually, you know what, though? Strike that. Look at the stock photo that they used for the furniture scene. So actually, look at how cool this room is, and I want you to really analyze this shit. Because in the back, you've got my Jack 2 statue. You've got Aloy. You've got a Thunderjaw in there. On the other side, you've got the systems and controllers locked in glass. Look at that staircase. Now, I'm not going to lie. This probably excites me more than anything else, and I would really love to get Home Depot or something on this shit. Like, let's get this in Home Depot stores right away. Okay, so we haven't talked about Ghost of Tsushima in a while, and the game's director, Nate Fox, recently did an interview with GameIndustry.biz discussing a little bit about how important it is to bring outside talent and walks of life in to help them understand feudal Japan in the 13th century and get a good idea of what's authentic and what's not, and sort of build the creativity and world of the game to make sure it's as true to the setting as possible, and that's very important. So Nate Fox was actually also quoted as saying, "It's been interesting working on this game because in past titles we've been able to make it up, frankly. For a superhero game set in Seattle, we knew what we were doing. But in this game, we are constantly learning about Japanese culture or the norms of samurai. And it's exciting because it changes the way you work to learning in the same way that players get to learn about these things, and in fascinating detail." What I find interesting about this news story is not necessarily that they're bringing in outside talent to make sure that the game is true to itself. I would almost expect that, because that's kind of what they're aiming for, and I say that loosely. It's still a video game. There's going to be video gamey type elements in there where it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but certainly the setting, they're trying to keep that as authentic as possible, and that's great. What I'm focusing on more so is Sucker Punch's history, which is that this company, well, initially did like something like Sly Cooper, which that's over a decade ago from now, so you got to imagine there's probably a good amount of staff turnover, but recent staff had worked on Infamous Surely, and that is a fictional game. Now, sure, they have done a true-to-life Seattle, but with the superhero aspect of the game, they can kind of really do whatever the hell they want. So for something like this, I think it's probably hitting the team, not hard, but it's a much different pace of work, which is that, especially like the writing team, for example, when they're probably, you know, writing the script or filling things out, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to have to keep fact-checking everything over and over again. Like, oh, maybe I can't say this. Does this make sense? Would this be something that would have been said back then? You know what I mean? It's little things like that, but when you're doing something where you have to stay authentic to the source material, you're going to be doing that a lot. And I feel like it's probably a much different work pace for them that they are used to. With that said, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this game, and that's fine for now because the game is still gestating, it's being made. We don't need to talk about it all the time, but it does look quite good, especially that no matter where this game ships, it will have Japanese audio, which I think is probably going to be the best way to play this game. Alright, so we got a PS4 sales update because the financial quarter is over, and Sony has told us where PS4 is at, and currently they have sold 86.1 million PlayStation 4s. They're still doing really well. They've actually updated their projections. So they originally thought they would sell 17 million for the year. Now they're upping that to 17.5 million, excuse me. And, you know, if you look at it right now, at least, I had initially predicted earlier in the year that they were going to sell about 90 million consoles by the end of 2018. It looks like I might be cutting that a little close, maybe a little bit off. It's still maybe too early to see because November, December are really the kind of unpredictable months. The only thing you know is that they're going to sell a lot more in those months. And typically it is a few million consoles. So where they're at right now, given 86 million, I don't know if they'd sell 4 million by the end of the year, but you got to figure they're definitely going to ship at least 2 to 3 million. So it's looking good. I'm sure the company is still quite happy with where they're at, and PlayStation Plus subscriptions are also back up. Game sales are up. I'm sure Sony's just elated with how well they're doing. For our final news story, and one of the bigger things that was discussed earlier in the week was PlayStation Classic. So Sony has given us the full game list of what's going to be available on PlayStation Classic, including the Japanese list, which they had told us earlier they would be somewhat different. So let's run down the list, shall we? PlayStation Classic in the West is going to be loaded with Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy VII, Grand Theft Auto, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms. And then the Japanese list, we'll run through this really quickly. I should have just listed the differences, but you'll probably pick them out. Ark the Lad, Ark the Lad 2, Armored Core, Biohazard Director's Cut, that's Resident Evil 2, Final Fantasy 7, G. Darius, Gradius Gaiden, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Persona Revelations, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Parasite Eve, Ridge Racer Type 4, Saga Frontier, Super Puzzle Fighter, Tekken 3, Toshinden, Wild Arms, and Devil Dice. So my sentiment, and it's the same as many others, very lacking, very disappointing, although I think I can kind of see what's going on here, which is just kind of the fact that there's somewhat of a conflict of interest with what's going on recently. You can't put Resident Evil 2 in there because the remake's coming out soon. You can't really do Symphony of the Night because that just came out, re-released on PS4. We just had Crash Remaster. We just had Spyro Remaster. Well, we're going to have the Spyro Remaster. You know what I mean? Like, some of the biggest PlayStation classics are already kind of, they've been redone somewhat recently in some way, shape, or form. Because I was, like, totally expecting Symphony of the Night. I was totally expecting Metal Gear. Sure enough, we got Metal Gear. But I thought, you know, I was like, well, you got to throw one Spyro in there. You got to throw one Crash in there. You probably just throw the first, you know, the first games in there, right? I was expecting Hot Shots. None of that. I was expecting Gran Turismo. That's not in there. I was expecting Ape Escape. A few people had mentioned how that requires analog stick. And I had totally forgotten because I haven't played Ape Escape in a long, long time. Easily when the game came out, it's the last time I played it, so I don't remember. But I was expecting that. I was expecting Tomba. It is. It's disappointing. There are a lot of ones in there where it's like, really? Come on. This doesn't need to be in here. And you know what, though? These lists have almost just made me rethink what PlayStation Classic should have been, which is that, and it's not dramatically different from what a lot of people are thinking it should be, because it's still blowing my mind how many people are thinking, oh my god, I'm not going to buy a PlayStation Classic. Just do backwards compatibility. Oh my god, this is not for backwards compatibility. It is purely a nostalgic device, just like the NES and SNES Classic. It's not an answer to backwards compatibility. And assuming that they just not do PlayStation Classic to do those other two things is just, or to do PS1 and PS2, but you know what I mean? It just fires me up. Especially given the fact that I've already done two videos basically explaining why Sony doesn't actually pursue backwards compatibility. But my idea is that, you know, at this point, why didn't you just do, let's say this, because $100 is a little steep for what it is right now, but let's say you sell it for $150, but instead of loading it with these 20 games, you load it with a lot more games. Load it with, like, because we all know a lot of people are going to get this thing, and they're just going to run a homebrew on it or whatever. They're going to put a bunch of emulators on it. And sure enough, you're going to see PlayStation Classics on eBay with like 600 plus games loaded onto them or whatever. There's going to be a scene for that. Why didn't you just maybe sell it for $130, $140, $150 and just put, say, 80 to 100 games on there? And that way there isn't this early on discussion of like, this should have been here, this should have been here. When you're putting 80 games in there, you've got enough to put in all the big classics and then a few others that are more niche to certain small audiences. And I feel like you would probably sell a lot more that way, and it would have more long-standing appeal of like, okay, it's not gonna sell out immediately and then it'll just kind of be whatever. You could manufacture a crap load of these things, keep it constantly manufactured, and give it almost its own little install base. Just recently Nintendo announced they had sold 10 million of now I don't remember off which one off the top of my head, if it was NES or SNES Classic or if that was combined cumulative sales, but you know what I mean? Give this thing a little bit of long-standing shelf space where it's somewhat relevant by offering a ton of these games on here. You know that's what people are going to do anyway. So, I don't know. The list was disappointing to the point where I'm like, why didn't you just do that instead, you know? Yeah, 100 steep, but at that point, if you're going to go that hard, then bump up the price a little more and put more in there. Of course, it goes without saying, but, like, a big hurdle with this is licenses and how old the games are, and, you know, some of these games don't have publishers or developers anymore. Their rights are up in the air, floating around. So I understand that point of it. There's probably a lot of these games that maybe can't come re-released on PlayStation Classic, but if you still went out of your way to add 50 or so more games to it, which I'm sure Sony could because it is Sony Corporation, they do have the connections, the money, the, you know what I mean, the what have to somewhat approach these things in a legal manner and get it all said and done. It's easier said than done, but Sony has the means to make that happen. Now, if it's worth it is another question entirely, but they have the means to do it. So I just feel like that maybe would have been a better approach, because as of right now, PlayStation Classic is pretty lacking, and I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. However, it's still coming out December 3rd, and you can still expect this channel to have plenty of content about PlayStation Classic when it comes out day of. Now it's time for Let's Talk Plus, the weekly giveaway where one of you could win a $10 PSN code. I feel a little regretful that I pointed at you so fiercely. I apologize. However, you could win a $10 code like Nicholas Navarro. Congratulations, sir. I'll be messaging you on Twitter. Message me back so I know you got it. I'll send you your $10 code. If you would like to win a $10 PSN code, it's so easy. Follow the link down below. It takes you to the Gleam website. You can subscribe for an entry. You can follow on Twitter for an entry. You can retweet a tweet for an entry. My God, you need to start doing this so I can give you $10 of PSN credit so you can buy yourself something nice. And those are all the news stories I wanted to talk about with you guys from this past week. So if you didn't see it on Tuesday, boom! The coolest, the most beautiful, the sexiest, and most expensive PS3s out there. Check that video out. We actually did something like that a few months ago for PS4s, but now it's about PS3. Little fun fact, my favorite console design ever was the original fat PS3. If you have like a, an appreciation for design, engineering, architects, that kind of thing, I think the original fat PS3 is just designed beautifully. I love it so much. But check that video out. It was really cool. And that's pretty much it. That's all I got for you. So that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you guys next Friday.